Thank you, Harriet, for joining Carve this morning.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The play Ulster American, it discusses the intricate political nuances of what it means to be from Northern Ireland, especially for your character. And I was wondering how you researched this.
Coming from a contemporary context, I was really interested in what it means to be a person from Northern Ireland in the world today, because a lot of what's online and a lot of the resources that are available are really about the Troubles, mostly through the 90s and the kind of, through the 70s to the 90s, when the Troubles were really at their worst, I suppose, in terms of the violence. But I really wanted to, of course, see what that's like now in 2021 and how that has had a sort of a knock-on effect for just living in that part of the world today. And luckily, one of the great benefits of working on a play where the playwright is still around and alive and doing interviews is David Ireland, our playwright, has recorded several interviews about exactly that topic and about his identity. And so I listened to hours of him talking on podcasts. He very kindly spoke to Radio National last week, which was also an amazing interview. And other than that, yes, of course, the historical context, documentaries. I've been watching a lot of Derry Girls, which is another really fun kind of, really that brilliant ability that people from Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic have to laugh at horrific circumstances. So engaging in comedy around that part of the world, I have found incredibly useful as well. So as not to not get too entrenched in the horror of the history, I suppose.
Your character is Ruth. What is she sort of, what's her internal and also external struggle with the other characters? What is she trying to tell them about her identity?
She is a unionist. So she's one of the members of Northern Ireland who associates with being British. She is British. And so it's a less known and less perhaps popular perspective globally. I think when people think of the Troubles and they think of Northern Ireland, there is a tendency to assume a rather Hollywood version of a struggle for Irish freedom and for Irish independence. We know about the IRA. We hear about that through, I think, a often very westernized sort of American perspective of an Irish Catholic struggle against the crown, against British occupation, against colonialism. So that's the story that I certainly knew and that I think a lot of people often know more. But of course, there's many people living in Northern Ireland who do call themselves British, love calling themselves British, and are very fond of the crown and welcome that identity. So that's where Ruth and our playwright, David Ireland, come in. So that's his perspective, and that's Ruth's perspective. And it's uncomfortable, I think. It's uncomfortable for people to basically hear a colonial perspective as a positive thing from someone. I think it's so that there is, yeah, so she is trying to assert her identity with the others and clarify that, all the while being sort of pushed into the corner and told, you know, well, that's not quite right. And, you know, it's quite hard for her to assert her identity, which is a problem on its own. But at the same time, I totally sympathise with the other characters that it is very uncomfortable sometimes to hear that perspective because we're just less familiar with it and it's harder for us to understand, I think.
Well, the play was written in such an interesting time in sort of modern history, as in it was post-Brexit, but then before Me Too. And you play the only woman in the play, but you also play a playwright who is in this position of power, as in they're putting on your play, so you get to, as your character gets to have this final say in what happens in your play, but you go tete-a-tete against these two very strong male presences. And I wanted to ask you, how does your character navigate this, given its context in the pre-Me Too movement?
It doesn't feel like a play that was written pre-Me Too. It's alarming how bloody current it is. I actually first read the script about a week or two after Brittany Higgins came out in federal parliament and with, of course, her horrifying story. So although it's a very specific play about a person from Northern Ireland, a person from America and a person from London in a room together, it's also so... Oh, it really cuts deep with today, from a Sydneysider's perspective. Pardon me. In terms of the politics in the room of a professional environment with two men and one woman and everything that that brings into the room. She does have power, as you have said, in that it is her artwork and it's her piece. But she's also very aware of there's so many different forms of power in the room. There's the patriarchy is very present in the room. Misogyny is very present in the room, despite everyone being incredibly polite and trying to, everyone's getting along very professionally and trying their best to get along for the majority of the play. And Ruth, I think more than anyone else in the room, I mean, perhaps that's just my perspective, has to mask the discomfort that she has with the way she is often treated, as I think a lot of women in professional environments become experts at, shrugging off small, insidious moments of discomfort and disrespect, because there's no time to deal with every single incident. So in order to get anything done in a professional context, I think a lot of women become quite adept at kind of just getting to the point and not tackling everything. If you stopped at everything that came along and picked out, is that a bit disrespectful? Are you sure that that's kind of inclusive, the way that you're kind of speaking to me now? Then we'd never get anything done. So she's very polite and very generous until she isn't, basically. We watch this person get pushed to breaking point.
You mentioned that there is a Irish person, an American person, and an English person on the stage, and watching it, I just thought, oh my God, I could not be able to respond in the accent that I'm doing to someone who's doing a different accent. And you had the dialect coach Linda Nichols Gidley on the creative team. And I was wondering, and you do a wonderful Northern Irish accent. How do you stay with the Northern Irish? And do you have any tricks? Is there a little trick we can do?
Tricks. Well, I mean, a great trick is having an expert dialect coach on board. That's been incredibly helpful. She's been amazing. That has been really tricky through rehearsals, definitely. We do... in the early stages, we often found ourselves in fits of laughter because it's just something that happens naturally. I think you listen to another accent and you start to slip into it, and we would start to mirror each other's accents until there's this sort of awful cacophony of nothing really very specific going on at all. I sort of feel like I've got a couple of balls in the air in my brain of maintaining the integrity of my voice while also listening to, what's being said to me. So it is a little bit of multitasking, but there are certain, particularly with Northern Irish, it's such a fun accent. There are a couple of vowels that are so kooky that I think when we really lean on just those couple of vowels, if I make sure I really hit them, that keeps placing us back in. Oh yeah, right. There's that, like moth and county and those kind of sounds that we're like, oh yeah, no, I recognize that as Northern Irish. So I suppose just having those anchor points throughout has been really helpful.
And the play it's hilarious. There are dark moments, but there is this sort of underlying satire that plays with the world of theatre and film and TV, the role of artists and who they are and what they represent. There's one line where the director character says he's not an adult, he's an artist, as in, like, artists are children.
Yeah.
He's not an he's an actor. So, and I was wondering, yeah, that's right. How do you stay sane in the wonderful world of film, television, and theatre? Obviously, that's part of you, you know, that sort of crazy side where you want to be creative and make art. And, you know, there is this sort of other symbol on the stage, which is an Oscar. So, yeah, I was wondering about your relationship to the industry and how do you go around navigating it?
I love that this play can laugh at the ridiculous aspects of this industry. I enjoy that very much. I think that's a huge survival technique in this industry. I love the community that I'm a part of artists. I've never met a group of people that are more resilient and able to laugh at the really difficult parts, I think, of trying to make a living as an artist. And if you can't laugh at it, then it's really hard to get by, I think. So as a result, I think this industry can attract really funny, curious people who just kind of are interested in having a look at ourselves, poking fun of ourselves. And I also think that there's a great privilege to being an artist because we're constantly seeking catharsis. And I really like, for example, David Ireland as an artist with this play and with the kind of jokes around how ridiculous and, you know, self-involved so many artists are, is, I don't know, to be able to enact that night after night and to laugh at that and to share laughter with an audience at that is incredibly cathartic. And and that it feels really, I guess it makes me feel like funny and silly, but also seen and appreciated for all the kind of like warts and all aspects of being an artist, you know what I mean? All the like horrible, silly, self-involved aspects, but also all the kind of crave for connection and beautiful human contact that I love about it as well. And the importance of storytelling, no matter how derailed that can get by ambition. The Oscar in the room is such a symbol of ambition for all three characters.
Harriet Gordon Anderson, thank you so much for joining Carve this morning.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for talking to me.